From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Kearns with you to welcome you to another Let the Bible Speak broadcast. I hope you'll be able to stay with us for the next half hour as we look into the Word of God, continuing our study of Psalm 68, verse 18, on the subject, Christ leading captivity captive and giving gifts unto men. A wonderful text and a glorious message, one that I trust you will find a blessing to your heart. First, however, we have our daily devotional Bible study, which today comes from Numbers 27, verse 17. It speaks of sheep without a shepherd. The text says that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. What a love Moses had for the Lord's people. When informed that he could not lead the congregation of Israel into Canaan, his only concern was that someone else be raised up to do so. He voiced no word of murmuring. Rather, he pleaded with God that the Lord's people should not be as sheep which have no shepherd. What a Christ-like concern that was. Many years later, the Savior himself witnessed what Moses had feared. Matthew tells us that Christ saw the multitudes scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. What can cause God's people to scatter? Usually, it is the lack of a God-anointed leader. Notice how the Lord answered Moses' plea. He told Moses, Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him. Moses could not be mistaken. He was to ordain Joshua, the son of Nun. But the leader of God's people was well acquainted with this Joshua. He had proved himself in many ways. At Rephidim, he had been faithful in warfare, routing the Amalekites, as we learn in Exodus 17. At the foot of Mount Sinai, he had been fervent in worship. He had, according to Exodus 33:11, departed not out of the tabernacle. The revelry in the camp held no attraction for him. At Kadesh, he had been forthright in witness. He had declared, along with Caleb, that the Lord would bring the people into the land, as Numbers 14 tells us. This son of Nun, therefore, was no novice, but a tried and proven man who had displayed all the qualities for leadership. As the Lord testified, the Holy Spirit was in him, giving him the ability his position required. Let us, like Moses, pray for such men. Their scarcity has resulted in the scattering of the flock. The lack of true shepherds has been a tremendous cause of hurt to the flock of God. May Christ himself send forth many Joshuas, and through them seek out his sheep, and, to quote Ezekiel 34:12, deliver them out of all places where they've been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And our thought for the day comes from John Newton, the famed writer of the hymn Amazing Grace. John Newton said, None but he who made the world can make a minister.
Thank you.
For the last couple of weeks, we have been making a very special free offer to our VCY listeners. We're offering to all who write to us to request it, Dr. Mike Barrett's excellent book on Daniel. Dr. Barrett is an eminent Old Testament scholar, and in this hardback book, he leads us to see what many books on Daniel miss, namely the comfort of knowing that our sovereign God is in complete control of all that's happening in the world today. Thus, the book of Daniel is a powerful answer to those who look at perplexing things that are going on in the world today and ask, where is God in all this? Dr. Barrett's study of Daniel will show you the answer and will thereby greatly bless your soul. So why not write today for your free copy of Dr. Mike Barrett's book, God's Unfailing Purpose? Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is freepres@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you.
Sovereign protector I have, unseen yet forever at hand, unchangeably faithful to save, almighty to rule and command. He smiles and my comforts abound. His grace as the dew shall descend, and walls of salvation surround the soul he delights to defend. Inspirer and hearer of prayer, thou shepherd and guardian of thine, my all to thy covenant care, I sleeping and waking resign. If thou art my shield and my sun, the night is no darkness to me, and fast as my moments roll on, they bring me but nearer to thee. Kind author and ground of my hope, thee for my God I avow. My glad Ebenezer set up, and own thou hast helped me till now. I muse on the years that are past, wherein my defense thou hast proved, nor wilt thou relinquish at last a sinner so signally loved.
Yesterday we commenced our week-long study of Psalm 68, verse 18, on the subject, Christ leading captivity captive and giving gifts unto men. In our opening study, we got only into part of our introduction to the text, an important introduction that led us to see the proper ground of confidence in prayer that a Christian may have. Today, we proceed with another important matter. I seek to show that David's words in the text were meant as a prophecy and that their true focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that will lead us to the first of four great truths about Christ that our text gives us. The first great truth concerns his identity. And I will seek to establish the fundamental truth of the Christian faith, namely that Jesus Christ is truly and essentially, that is, as concerns his essence, truly and essentially God, with all that such a doctrine means to us. So let's now turn again to Psalm 68, verse 18, which says, "Thou hast ascended up on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them." For David, all this that stirred his heart with confidence was history. But there's more than ancient history. There is more than ancient history in this text. There is also a prophetic message. And that is clear from the second portion that we read this morning, because in Ephesians 4 verse 8, the Apostle Paul quotes Psalm 68:18. He quotes it. He amends it slightly for his own inspired purpose. By that I mean, in the psalm, it says that you received gifts. Here it says you give the gifts. The reason for that is not to contradict the psalm, because verse 19 of the psalm goes on to say that he gives them. But it is to use it and direct it for what's coming in Ephesians 4. But he's actually quoting this psalm. Now I want to make this clear to you. Ephesians 4 verse 8 is not an accommodation of the words of David. In other words, it's not simply a case like the modernist and the liberal would tell us, that Paul looked back and he found words that David had used that in themselves mean something totally different, but they suited Paul's purpose, and so Paul accommodated those words to his particular meaning. That is not the case. Paul's whole argument, as I will show you before we're much older, Paul's whole argument depends on the fact that he is here giving these words their full and final meaning. David was a prophet. Scripture makes that clear. And whether David himself understood the extent of his prophecy at this time or not may be debatable, but it doesn't matter. Peter tells us that the Old Testament prophets prophesied firstly not for their own good at all, but they prophesied for our good because they were speaking of Christ in the fullness of his revelation. And these words of the psalmist David have their full meaning in the revelation that we have in Ephesians 4 and verse 8. In other words, the words of our text speak of the Lord Jesus Christ as the mighty conqueror, and they describe his ascension to the throne of glory, from where he dispenses his gracious gifts to his unworthy but his beloved people. Now I want to examine this text today for its testimony to this truth of Christ leading captivity captive and giving gifts unto men. And it emphasizes four things about the mighty conqueror. The first would be easy to overlook, but I don't want us to overlook it this morning, for it's the foundation of everything else. And that is his identity. You go into the 68th Psalm, and you'll find that the psalmist, when he says thou, he is addressing the Lord God Almighty. The person addressed in the text is God. And he's God according to the revelation given under his various names. He is God. He is the one who is the creator. He is the one who is to be worshipped. He is the one who is to be feared. He is, as verse 5 says, Yah, which is a poetic contraction of the word Jehovah. He is Jehovah, the great I Am. In the words of our text, He is Jehovah God. In the words of verse 19, He is the God of our salvation. In the words of verse 20, He is God the Lord, to whom belong the issues of death. He is the King of all eternity. He is the sovereign over life and over death, over heaven and over hell. Now this is the one whom the psalmist is addressing. Now we turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and we find that the Apostle Paul, equally inspired, takes this very statement of the psalmist, and he applies it to Christ. He is addressing Christ. He has just spoken of the grace of Christ, and he goes on in the verses following, showing that he is speaking of the incarnation of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and now the ascension of Christ into glory. The identity of the mighty conqueror, therefore, in this text is vitally important. And that's why I was at such pains to emphasize these are not words accommodated to a foreign use. This, by Paul, is a quotation that gives us the precise, the full, and the final meaning of what David said in the 68th Psalm. Now that is a simple statement to make. And it would take not a day or a week or a month to preach on that subject. It's the study of a lifetime. Let me tell you, here you come to the very heart of the Christian revelation. And never let us make it a simple matter of dogma that you shrug your shoulders and say, well, don't we all believe that? Yes, I hope we do all believe it. Although there are more and more and more cultists and apostates and heretics who question it. And that is the absolute, eternal, essential deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God the Creator. Jesus Christ is Jehovah the eternal I Am, the God of the covenant. Jesus Christ is the God of our salvation. Jesus Christ is the one who has the keys of hell and of death, and to Him belong the issues from death. That is the identification that is made here, the true deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that has not only tremendous value from the point of view of Christian doctrine and theology, but it has the most intimate and immediate value when you're praying the kind of prayer that David was praying. Remember what I said? David was distressed because of the enemy. David was moved to pray that God would do something magnificent, marvelous, majestic, worthy of His name. You look at the circumstances today, and you must, if you're a Christian at all, you must be moved to pray along the lines that David was praying. But as day follows day, and one attack upon truth after another rolls in upon us, and one enemy after another rises up to oppose the work of God, when you look at the situation, whether it's politically or economically or socially, you cannot help but feel at times overwhelmed. And as you pray, the devil would come to you and say, you're wasting your time. You're never going to see a move of God again. God has forgotten about you. If He ever did do anything, He's never going to do it again. And that's why so many professing believers have actually given up praying, and in the place of praying, they have put the program of their own puny little activities.
That's why so many churches have turned their prayer meeting into anything but a prayer meeting, and they are getting more and more worldly, and they're getting more and more caught up into the spirit of the age where they expect nothing, and they're not disappointed, for they get nothing but what their own hands can produce. How do you overcome that? It's good to think of what God did at Sinai. I'm glad of what He did leading the children of Israel through the wilderness. What He did in bringing them into the land of Canaan. But let me tell you, all that pales into almost insignificance when I consider that God, in the person of His own Son, came down from heaven to earth, that He was born of a virgin, that the eternal God became incarnate to save a worm of the dust like me, that He lived and fulfilled the law of God in my place, weaving by His perfect life a robe of spotless righteousness with which to clothe my guilty soul. That He died an atoning death, and in the shedding of His blood He made such a satisfaction and rendered such an atonement as purchased eternal redemption for this guilty sinner. That He rose the third day from the dead in the very body in which He was crucified. And that 40 days later, in that very body, He ascended up on high. When I think of that, and I know that my God did that, that it is my God who sits upon the throne of glory. It is my God who is the King of the ages, the King of the angels, the King of the universe, as the Jews like to say of their God in their great prayers. When I think that it is my God and Savior who does all that, then I can pray with confidence. He will intervene. He will arise. He will scatter His enemies. He will visit His church. He will provide for His people. He will uphold even the weariest of His people. As we read in verse 9 of the Psalm, Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby Thou didst confirm Thine inheritance when it was weary. That's what our Savior has done. That's what our Savior will do. That's what our Savior cannot but do, because He is our God. Is there any power on earth can stop Him? You sometimes get overwhelmed by the powers that are oppressing the Church of Jesus Christ. You sometimes get overwhelmed with the circumstances that afflict individual Christians in their daily walk. You wonder, how can we make headway? But if God be for us, who can be against us? Where is the power that can withstand our Savior? He is the Lord, God of our salvation. His identity is an important truth.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, separated unto the gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now, that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.